Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, February 11th. Joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Dr. Gary Zireth. He's the Interim Director of Post-Seminary Applied Learning and Support, also known as PALS. Good morning, Dr. Zireth.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to have you with us this morning. And Post-Seminary Applied Learning and Support, PALS, is one of many things that you do, but serving as Interim Director, how did you get involved with PALS?
Well, it's probably my background in continuing education. I think some of the people in St. Louis could see my great interest and desire in keeping up my education throughout my 25 years of ministry. Even though I have not per se been involved in PALS, I've been involved very heavily in taking educational coursework throughout my ministry, and they could see that this is a very important aspect of my being a pastor in a congregation. I earned my D.Min back in 2006 at the Fort Wayne Seminary. I'm a doxology graduate recently this past summer. And many other courses and things that I've taken over the years, I think I have a background and a deep desire to keep growing in my understanding of what it means to be a pastor in the ministry, in the Missouri Synod, and to serve my flock and to try by the grace of God to be the best pastor I can. So when this opportunity came, I prayerfully accepted it, knowing that it's only on an interim basis, but I've learned a lot about the PALS program since last September, since I've joined the group. So I'm ready to give some new ideas and to help this program grow in the interim until they find somebody else to fill these shoes on a full-time basis.
Well, let's talk about PALS and the history of PALS. What is PALS? What is the program all about?
Well, I could probably step back and give a little bit of history on PALS. It stands for, as you mentioned, Post-Seminary Applied Learning and Support. And what happened in our synod back in the mid to late 90s, the Council of Presidents noticed kind of an unsettling thing that was happening back then when pastors would receive their first calls out of the seminary. There was a number of them that wouldn't stay very long. The turnover of pastors back then was something to be alarmed about. So there was a desire back in the 90s to have the pastors stay longer at their first calls. And so they developed this PALS program that came into being around 1997, 98. And we have realized in our church that there's a great benefit for pastors staying longer in their pastorates, whether it's their first call or not, just a time to build up rapport and trust and to build up the ministry in one place is a very, very healthy and a valuable thing. So they started PAL, P-A-L, first of all, Post-Seminary Applied Learning. But then they realized the S, the support aspect, needed to be added, and that's how we get the acronym PALS. They found out that the support aspect was very key in developing this program. And so as it started in the late 90s, over time there's been improvements and changes have been made, but much of that original program has stayed. And this program is intentionally apolitical, that there's no synod politics that are involved in the PALS program. It's very collegial in its learning. It's not supposed to technically be a class experience. Facilitators are chosen, that's exactly what they do, is that they facilitate and prompt discussion among the group of pastors and their wives. So it's a good experience. It's been a great experience for our pastors and our wives as they begin their new ministries. Overall, these topics that they discuss have come from them, topics that they want to talk about, current needs in the ministry, and we try to develop those DVDs and study guides to meet those needs that are out there. So it's the first 3 years in the parish that they are to be involved with, usually meeting with other ones in their district several times a year to support one another, to grow in their understanding of their call, and to learn many things about their first 3 years in the parish.
And how often did you say that the pastors or pastors and wives meet with the PALS groups?
Yeah, it depends on the groups themselves and the district that they serve. Sometimes it depends on travel and how often they can get together. But we usually recommend that they try to meet six times a year, whether that's six separate days or whether they group them together in 2 days together, but we would like to have them at least try to meet six times throughout the year, if at all possible.
And what have we seen as the what have been some of the responses of those who have attended PALS, those who have gone through 3 years, or and those who are just starting in PALS? Any responses that you've heard from folks who have attended?
There's been lots of great and positive responses over the years. I could probably read some quotes. These are recent facilitator self-evaluations, and I can just read and quote from a facilitator in Michigan. One of the greatest joys has been listening to the growth of pastors and wives who've been part of PALS for a couple of years, and hearing them and wanting more beyond the three-year limit. The curriculums which the steering committee has caused to coming here has been very timely and has helped with the level of participation by the pastors and their wives. It's been great to see how solid collegial relationships are springing up among the participants and growing into friendships and the sharing of helpful ministry information and practices. So that's just one comment by White One, but this is not isolated. We hear lots of great things that are happening simply because the friendships that are being formed, the collegial aspect of the groups, the chance to sit down and talk about the struggles and troubles in the initial beginnings of ministry in a first call. We believe that putting people in the same circumstance together with a trained an experienced facilitator can only do good things for the church. But there's many, many more evaluations and comments like that.
Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, I'd like to talk about some of the challenges that that you think new pastors might face as they begin their vocation as pastors, having gone through the seminary, that seminary education, now still part in that of that pastoral formation. What are some of the challenges they face? We're going to talk about that when we come back from our break. We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Gary Zeroth, Interim Director of Post-Seminary Applied Learning and Support, also known as PALS. Stick around for more His Time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Up next, Matthew 13, Jesus teaching us how to understand his parables. You don't want to miss it.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO, underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation.
Worldwide KFUO has been listener-supported for more than 90 years, teaching the good news of Jesus upon the cross and witnessing to the world on God's mercy. We are on AM 850 in St. Louis and online at kfuo.org, where you will find our Give Now button. It's easy, safe, and secure to give to the Christ-centered broadcast ministry of Worldwide KFUO. You'll find us online at kfuo.org.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with the Reverend Dr. Gary Zeroth. He's the Interim Director of Post-Seminary Applied Learning and Support, also known as PALS. Before we went to break, Dr. Zeroth, we were talking about some of the responses from those who have attended PALS. What are some of the challenges that you think new pastors face in those first couple of years as they're taking, as they receive their first call and taking their steps into their first year as a pastor?
Yeah, the challenges are many and varied, and I just want to make mention that our seminaries, both in St. Louis and Fort Wayne, do a great job. Of course, I think we all know that of giving our pastors the tools to work with. When you launch out into the ministry, there's of course many unexpected things that come up that might have been only touched upon at the seminary level, and these kind of issues need greater attention and support as pastors. Some, if not all, tend to struggle with. These courses that were developed came from the groups and out of the groups, that is a desire to need and have more information on some topics. I can just mention a few of them is the area of catechesis, how to develop educational programs within your congregation, how to just basically teach confirmation as you deal with the various aspects of confirmation programs, and one other issue is how to stay upon law and gospel preaching is one of the courses that were developed. One big one is how to get to know your congregation. What are the first initial steps in the first year or so that a pastor should take to get to know people? How should he initially relate to people? One aspect is always developing trust among your members, and another aspect is the whole idea of counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a big one for me. I remember when I got out into the ministry, I was called to a northern parish way up in northern Alberta, Canada, and I was inundated and bombarded with counseling type situations that became overwhelming. Back then, I wish we did have a PALS program where I could bounce these things off and get more help from a trained facilitator, a man with more experience. But one of the courses that is offered in PALS, taught by Dr. Beverly Yonke, who is a part of doxology and also teaches at our Concordia in Wisconsin, making pastoral referrals. When you're counseling a couple or counseling an individual, how does a pastor, especially out of the seminary, really, really know and recognize his limits? When do you start getting into the area of pastoral care that is beyond our ability to handle psychological type issues and problems within our parishioners? So how do you make these referrals? Mm-hmm. What do you look for in the counseling situations that can best help the person that you're dealing with? Things like that. We talk about stewardship of time is a when you get out into the parish, you're inundated with lots of things, and for those pastors also with families, how do you, frankly, divide your time among your parishioners, your family, your wife and children? How do you become a good steward of your time in those first 3 years and set a good example and a good pace for the rest of your ministry? Pastoral support at the end of life, funerals, as you start to deal with death in your ministry. You've talked about it at the seminary level, but now you're dealing with it hands-on with people who are grieving and how to conduct funerals, writing funeral sermons, how to walk alongside people who are experiencing grief. Another issue that came up over the past years is personal finance. A lot of our seminarians come out with debt,
mm-hmm.
and how can we deal with that and help our pastors better in the first 3 years, trying to get started in their ministry, pay the bills, trying to help alleviate those kind of issues and talk about it. The pastor's wife, this is another whole issue that is dealt with in PALS, and the wives certainly are encouraged to come along with their husbands to these meetings, and the wives learn alongside with their husbands. We recognize that the support of the pastor's wife is vitally important for both the family and the congregation. PALS was also developed to be helpful to wives in their transition, because we tend to forget the wives' situation when they come out of seminary, that the pastor himself is thrown into a family, and he relates with the members a lot more than his wife does, and the wife often seems isolated or lonely in her mm-hmm. role as a pastor's wife. So she gets to come to the PALS meetings as well, and there's shared activities with their husbands, and there are times when they are separated and they are put into a wives group together, and they get to share their own joys and sorrows in their first few years of ministry as well. One pastor's wife, and I can quote this, she says, "PALS has allowed me to be open and to be myself. I have appreciated the opportunity to meet with other pastoral families and to refresh myself for the ministry that we are engaged in here." So it's been a great value also to our wives.
And I can see that, because when you start this vocation, when you begin this vocation of pastor, you're starting a whole new, and you've mentioned this as well, that you're really starting a whole new way of life, because while it's a career, it's certainly more than that. There's a lifestyle that goes with it. It's not a 9-to-5 job,
right.
Like many lay people might encounter. And granted, a lot of jobs have evolved over the last 100 years, and so there aren't as many 9-to-5 jobs. But it's very different when you're caring for people, when you're a shepherd of a congregation. So it is a different life than any other life that you might have lived before, and going from seminary life, being a student, to being a full-time parish pastor has its
right.
challenges. Well, Pastor, some of the topics that are studied, you mentioned counseling, managing financial matters and things like that, even personal financial matters, balancing family time and being a servant to the church. Any other topics that are covered in the PALS groups?
Yeah, just looking after the pastor's health, and we're trying to develop four new programs that hopefully will connect with the congregation themselves. One of the programs we hope to develop is trying to teach the congregation how to receive their new pastor and family, some of the steps that they can do to prepare for receiving that new man among them, how to care for and take care of the pastor and their family. So we realized also over the years that the congregation also needs some education on how to make this a very healthy relationship, a loving relationship between pastor and people, and also, and God willing, a chance to serve each other over the long haul. And so that's one thing that we're working on. There's issues about marriage, that as you get out into the ministry, that you're dealing with several marriage issues, premarital counseling. There seems to be a lot of need for, again, I mentioned this, counseling within the parish. I was a psychology major in college, And, of course, being young and brash, I thought I knew it all. But, of course, I didn't. And, in fact, I realized there is a lot of things that I need to grow into yet. And so this is the one avenue we feel in the Synod to help our younger pastors, our first-time pastors, to understand their roles better as they get out into the parish. Another course that is offered is called Pastors and Elders. As pastors work with the leadership in their congregation, especially the Board of Elders or the Board of Deacons, how is that relationship supposed to grow? What is the pastor's role among the elders? How can the elders better assist the pastor in his responsibilities and duties? A basic course, another one, is simply how do you just transition from seminary to parish life? What kind of issues will help you transition to move into a new community, to get settled in your home, to make a home? What should you be doing in your first year of ministry, and what are the priorities in visitation and pastoral care? There's a lot of courses. We're trying to develop. What we're trying to do is develop a good 3-year series that is rotated and repeated every 3 years. Sometimes, however, the courses fall out of disuse, and we create new ones based on the needs of the groups. And we send out these inventories and these questionnaires every year, asking them the strengths and weaknesses of each course. And we really use those to develop new courses that are needed within the parish. I think we have a good core curriculum right now of a 3-year program, but we always want to update them and tweak them a little bit to make sure that they're still effective in what they're supposed to do.
Overall, how do you think PALS, Post-Seminary Applied Learning and Support, serves the congregation? You know, by serving the pastor and by caring for the pastor, how does this serve our congregations, how the church at large?
Yeah, it's very valuable to our congregations, and most congregations themselves need to be also introduced to this program. Many are still unfamiliar with it, but they do participate in the fact that they allow their pastor and the pastor's wife, if applicable, to leave the parish a number of days during the year to gather with others for a time of study and worship, prayer together, and a time to grow and learn. That's only a valuable thing, knowing that their pastor is finding time away, time to grow in their aspect of ministry where they are, a chance to talk and to bounce things off others, and to come back somewhat renewed and refreshed in their own ministry to help to lead and teach their own congregation. The congregation has that responsibility. They also provide some funding. They have a buy-in with a few dollars so that they can send their pastor and wife off for these times. So it frankly is a time of refreshment and renewal. And we consider it really a time of continuing education. We're hoping within the Synod to help develop a better program or a better way to help our pastors be more formally introduced to continuing education, not just the first 3 years, but hopefully for the rest of their ministry until they retire. I think it's the only profession that doesn't require a continuing ed among pastors. Dentists and lawyers and doctors and other professionals are always updating their credentials and learning more about what they do, but in the ministry we don't really require that. Not that this is a requirement, but it's strongly encouraged, and we would like to continue to do that.
With just about a minute or so left, Pastor, any other thoughts about post-seminary applied learning and support today that you'd like to share with us as we wrap up our conversation?
Well, it's been very valuable and effective so far in our Synod, and it's going to be growing, I believe, in the years to come. We've had some indications that some districts are trying to grow this among themselves. I just recently, in the last 2 weeks, one district wants to add on to it to make it a 4 to 7 year program, which can only mean that it's the pastors and their wives enjoy it, they like it, they want to keep going with it, and they've developed good relationships over these past years. And so there's great indication out there in our synod that PAL's program is here to stay. In fact, it's indicated that it wants to grow in different ways too. So I would just want to give a shout out to the ladies that help out. Carrie O'Donnell, she's been doing great work in our program. I want to give thanks to Carrie and her work among us. Barbara Clark, who works at the IC, the International Center in St. Louis, she does great work among us and helps answer a lot of questions and solves many problems for us. I give thanks to our district presidents who work with us and help the PALS program to go and run smoothly, and certainly our facilitators and their wives. The amount of time that they put into it, we want to give thanks to them especially, that they are the ones who are dealing with the ones out of seminary and meet with them on a regular basis. So I want to commend them and support them in their work, as they are the ones really who are in the front lines helping our pastors to grow and to provide that support for them. So I give thanks to our facilitators especially.
Very good. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Gary Zirath, Interim Director of Post-Seminary Applied Learning and Support, also known as PALS. Dr. Zirath, thanks so much for being our guest today on His Time.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you very much.
You bet. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today we're going to study with Pastor Wergo from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harold, Texas, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Iowa Park, Texas. Stick around for more His Time right after this break.